Stage Dramas present The Case of the Marked Bullet. This week's front page drama, The Case of the Marked Bullet, is a dramatization of another in the amazing true life stories to be found in Tales of the California Gold Trail. This authentic history of the early days of the great California gold rush of 49 enters its seventh installment in next Sunday's American Weekly, well named The Nation's Reading Habit, because it is read by more people than any other publication in the world. Tales of the California Gold Trail is a stirring, colorful history filled with all the drama, comedy, romance, and tragedy of one of the most glamorous periods in the development of our country. The author of this most interesting work is an 81-year-old pioneer, one of the few remaining survivors of those stirring times, Judge J.W. Pitt, who lived in one of the most picturesque camps of Coloma, California. And now to our story.
The cargoes of gold dust and nuggets carried by the stagecoaches out of the gold country sometimes ran as high as $100,000. That was a bait the outlaws couldn't pass up. So we soon had stagecoach robbers to add to the other perils of the gold rush days. Now, one of the worst of these was Tom Bell, the ex-nose bullet bad man of the gold rush. He was a young doctor from Tennessee who joined the gold rush. He didn't have much luck with practicing medicine or finding gold. Well, the shipments of gold that were rolling out of the camps looked like easy money. So he turned highwayman. Now, it was no trick in those days for an outlaw with a little cunning to get plenty of followers. Bell had the cunning, plenty of cool nerve, and a steady pistol hand. And he was soon riding the lonely mountain roads at the head of a band of daring desperadoes. It was the most closely knit group of outlaws the gold country ever saw. The organization was so big, a way was found for members to identify each other. Well, Sir Bell devised a flat-nosed bullet with a piece of string through it. The ends of the bullets were filed down in the shape of an X. Now, this filing served two purposes. It provided an identification for the Bell gang, and it made the guns more deadly. The hole that they ripped through a body was always pretty sure to be fatal. Well, one night, a man by the name of Rosenthal was murdered near one of Bell's hangouts. The Mountaineer House. And Sheriff Paul of Placer County went quietly to work on the case.
Well, what's the bad news, then?
Pretty bad shooting up at Mountaineer House, Sheriff. A fella by the name of Rosenthal was shot and robbed of quite a sum.
Mountaineer House, eh?
Uh-huh.
That's the hangout of Tom Bell and his ex-nose bullet gang.
That's what it looks like, Sheriff. Though there ain't no way to prove it.
Well, now, look here. I'm getting just a mite bit sick of people are telling me that. This time I'm going to prove it. And what's more, I'm going to get Tom Bell.
Well, that's a pretty big order, Sheriff, even for you. That Bell gang is big and tough and well organized. What's more, they're killers.
I know all that. It ain't scaring me none. I'm aiming to break up Tom Bell's gang, and I'm starting tonight for their hideout at Mountaineer House.
Sure sticking your head into a hornet's nest.
No, I ain't. No, there's nobody up there knows me. I'm going to carry one of Bell's own charms. I'll file down an X on one of my bullets, put a piece of string through it, and make them believe I'm one of the Bell gang.
Well, Sheriff, watch out for Jack Phillips, who runs the Mountaineer House. I figure he's one of that gang, too.
I'll find that out, too, because I'm going to look him up first.
Well, I never see him before. Except that time he come in there.
Yeah, stranger, I'm Jack Phillips. What can I do for y'all?
Well, first, I'd like to wet my whistle, so I'll just buy a drink. See what the boys will have. Here's my money.
Well, say, your money's good, stranger, and so is your good luck, Pete.
Hey, name your poison, boys. Stranger here is buying the drink.
Pardon me?
Hey.
I like your little good luck season. Oh, the table should have been.
So, I'm a little tired. Long ride up here.
Here we are, partners. Talk freely here.
Come on.
Good to be up as one of the gang. Anything in the wind?
Nope. Just lying low now.
Any trouble?
No, just a little shooting scrape. Rattlesnake Dick shot a dude by the name of Rosenthal. Stirred up a little excitement. Everyone thought the chief had done it, so they figured they'd both better hide out for a day or so.
Well, I know about a nice little shipment of gold dust going out. I'd like to tell the chief about it.
Uh-huh.
Easy pick.
How much dust?
Oh, $100,000.
You say it's easy picking, huh?
Yep. Yep, got it all spotted. A plan to show the chief.
Well, if it's that good, I'll take you to him. Bell's up at Lizzie Hood's place. He's kind of got a hankering for her daughter.
Well, I bet it's a go when you are. That shipment's going out in 3 days.
Well, get your horse and we'll start riding. We can be there soon after midnight.
Well, McVeigh unwittingly led Sheriff Paul right to Bell's hideout. That was at Lizzie Hood's in the wild Tulare Lake country, where they were met by Lizzie herself.
Hey, what in the devil do you mean by disturbing people at this hour of the night? What do you want?
Easy now, Lizzie, easy. Yeah, have a look at my watch, Tom.
Yeah, how about him?
Oh, you mean you'd like to see my good luck piece, too? Well, there it is.
Go right in the bar. He's in there with Janny and Rattlesnake.
Okay, Lizzie.
What's it, Ma?
Couple of Tom's boys. You see him?
Send them in if you know them, Lizzie.
I know one of them. The other's all right. Here they are.
Howdy, Tom.
Howdy.
Right along with the boys. There's some good news.
Huh?
Meet up with Phil Smith.
Howdy.
Howdy. Pull up some chairs and have a drink. Lizzie, fix the boys up with a little of your liquid tanglefoot.
Right.
This here's Jenny, Lizzie's daughter. This is Rattlesnake Dick.
Yeah.
Hi.
How do you
do?
Howdy, Jenny. Well, how's things down the valley, boys?
Well, they're all quiet again. Phil here come up through Placer County and says the sheriff says he'll get you off and get you if you come down there.
If I come down there, what's the matter with him coming up here?
Sure. I've always had a hankering to drill a sheriff. Ma almost got one once. Almost. Why, I winged him as clean as you would a duck. But he was too darn ornery to die.
Well, what's on your mind, Phil?
Well, seeing that you disappeared and everything was quiet, the boys down below were figuring on shipping out a little dust in 2 or 3 days. And I figured you'd like to know about it, seeing it's worth $100,000.
You know, you just figured right. I've been promising Jenny a poke of dust for some new clothes.
And it looks like I'm going to get them now.
It sure does, honey. Where are they running the dust, Phil?
Out of Camptonville. And between there and Marysville on the Yuba Canyon, there's a nice spot at the fork of the road where the boys could lay and wait for the stage.
I know just where you mean. Now, when are they going to ship?
Well, they weren't parting, you know, what with the little shooting the other day.
Yeah, I get it. Well?
Well, now, I can ride back, find out definitely, and be back here tomorrow night. If I start now, I'll be there in the morning.
Good idea. Lizzie, see, get the fresh horse and something to eat and drink, quick. Then be on your way. I'm hankering for some excitement after being shut up here for a few days.
I'll fix him up. Come on, Phil.
Coming right along.
Well, so Sheriff Phillips hurried home and organized a strong posse. Led the boys back to Bell's hideout. Just before they reached the destination, they all tied up their horses, except the sheriff. He gave them their instructions.
Now remember, boys, you'll all go ahead. Close in all around the house and wait. When you hear me coming, Tom and Mike get up close on either side of the door. Then I'll knock. When Lizzie opens it, grab her quick. The others rush in and surprise them. Now then, you all set?
Yeah.
All right. Get going. And remember, no light, no talk. Be as quick and as quiet as you can. Remember, they're all bad and mighty quick on the draw.
All right, come on along with me, Tom.
Who is it? Who's there?
Oh, it's me, Lizzie. Open up. It's Phil. I'm back.
See my lucky piece, Lizzie?
Oh, I remember you now. Come on in.
Thanks, Lizzie.
All right, boys. No, you don't. Come along this way. In the bar. All right, sir. Get them up.
Well, sir, the moment Phillips entered. Someone shot out the lamp. And in the dark, there was a furious gun battle. When the firing ceased, two of the bandits were dead. The sheriff and posse looked them over carefully, and one of them was the Scourge of the gold camp, Tom Bell. The sheriff won undying fame for ridding the country of the outlaw leader and capturing several of his gang, including Lizzie and her notorious daughter. Stagecoach drivers breathed easier, and miners were told it was safe to trust their gold to the stagecoaches.
You have just heard the front page drama entitled The Case of the Marked Bullet, a dramatization of one in a series of authentic stories of the California gold rush of 49. These thrilling, romantic, and colorful stories are part of the history of the discovery of gold in California, entitled Tales of the California Gold Trail, written by Judge J.W. Pitt, 81-year-old pioneer and one of the few remaining survivors of the old 49ers. Don't miss this splendid historical feature in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world. The American Weekly is the nation's reading habit and comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas present Turn the Recital into a Riot. This week's Front Page Drama, Turn the Recital into a Riot, is a dramatization of an amazing but most amusing true life story of the same name. Turn the Recital into a Riot is to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as a part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. A young singer, like a prophet, usually is without honor in his own country. Seemingly one of the most difficult things in the world is to get a good-sized audience to attend a musical debut. Even such able artists as Grace Moore, Nelson Eddy, and Lawrence Tibbett can tell of discouraging attempts to fill a concert hall for their early recitals. American singers have the edge on many Europeans. Here, there is the Naumburg Foundation, an organization specifically established to give young singers the opportunity to appear before audiences in New York's Town Hall or some other music center. To top off its service to the ambitious young musicians,